Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. I am one of the hosts, Nick Filato, joined as always by Chris Flum. And today, Chris, we're going to continue to provide numerical values on each position group. Only now, it's not the offense, it's the defense. We already did the offense. So if anybody wants to check that out, please go to the Saturday show. So let's go to this defense, bro, and let's check out where the biggest positions of need are as the Giants are turning to the 2023 NFL draft. So let's start with the edge spot. Because Chris, in my opinion, and seemingly in your opinion as well, it appears like the edge position is a low-key need. And we'll get into exactly why, but I want to, since I haven't introduced you yet, kind of want to throw it to you and have you opine on the Giants' current edge group. So let's do that. And also, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I am doing pretty well. Yeah, I just, as an aside, I went and saw the Dungeons & Dragons movie yesterday. A lot of fun. Highly recommend, even if you,
did you
are...
say Dungeons & Dragons?
I did say that.
Oh, I don't think I've ever dabbled in the Dungeons & Dragons realm. Was it cool?
Yeah, if you get a chance to go see the movie, go see it. It's a lot of fun. Chris Pine plays the lead. He has a good performance. Hugh Grant, also in the movie, he has a very good performance as well. This isn't a movie podcast, but, you know, if you get a couple hours of free time, for some reason not watching tape, go out and watch the movie.
Well, it seems like the Giants could use some Dungeons and Dragons along the defensive line and at the edge position. So let's start right there with the edge group. Give us your opinion on the overall, I guess, feel of this position group. Because to me, man, it's you have a first round pick from last year, a second round pick from the year prior, but I still think this edge group needs some work.
Yeah, I that is exactly the way I feel about it. When they are on the field together, Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari are a dynamic pairing. Thibodeau, I think, is quickly becoming a very well-rounded starting edge defender. You know, he can play the run, he can rush the passer, he has a knack for making impact plays in high-leverage situations. Ojulari, Azeez Ojulari, that is, he is fast, he is explosive, he is bendy as hell. Not a great run defender right now, but he is... he kind of fills the role of OCU Manura to Thibodeau's Strahan, if I can make that comparison. But behind those two guys, you know, there isn't a Justin Tuck. There isn't a Matthias Kiwanuka. There isn't a JPP. You know, the Giants don't have a whole lot of depth at their edge position. You know, Tamon Fox is a guy we both like. The Giants re-signed Jihad Ward. Yeah, but there isn't really that guy who can step in and either let one of these two guys rest, step up and be an impact player alongside one of those two guys, or fill the void if either one gets hurt, which is something we saw quite a lot of last year when both Thibodeau and especially Ojulari got hurt.
So what's your number? If you have to assign a number, 10 being the greatest, 1 being we don't really need to invest in this position, what number are you at?
I'm at an 8 on this one, actually.
And I like that, Chris. I do. Yeah. And I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I also wanted to kind of posit this as well. When looking at a Wink Martindale defense, he stresses this so much. This is positionless. So I also think we need to kind of bring the defensive line into this same discussion with the edge group, because there is a player who is technically an edge, who is 6'5", 290 pounds, who can play defensive line, named Jihad Ward. So I want to kind of ingratiate the defensive line into this conversation along with the edge, Because when you look at the edge group, if Jahad Ward is playing some defensive line, who the hell is backing up Aziz Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau? You're talking about Ellerson Smith, a guy who cannot stay healthy, and an undrafted rookie from last year who we like, but if we're going to be honest, is a replaceable player. So we're not talking as a fan base, Chris, about the edge group that often right now. But I really feel like we should be discussing them, because if you look at a lot of teams who compete for Super Bowls, if any fan base knows this, it's the New York Giants with their historical impact they've had at the edge position and pass rushers in general. Look at Philadelphia this last year. You need a solid rotation of pass rushers. And if the Giants suffer one injury to Aziz Ojulari or Kayvon Thibodeau right now, man, like, what are we talking about? Like, the edge is a pretty damn big need. I have it at a 7. You have it at an 8. I'm right there with you, buddy.
Yeah, that isn't a commentary on Thibodeau, Ojulari, Jihad Ward, Leonard Williams, you know, those guys. It is just, there's really nothing behind any of them. And the edge is a position where, especially as we've seen with Wink Martindale, he loves sub packages. He loves rotating guys on and off the field. You want to keep these guys healthy. You want to keep them well rested for the end of the fourth quarter at the end of the season. And the Giants are the team that coined the term, you can never have enough pass rushers. And I really think Joe Shane needs to look long and hard at adding another one. Now, maybe not in the first round. We'll have to see how the draft board falls, but I could see a real argument for adding one at some point in the first 2 days.
I'm right there with you, man. I think it's one of the, like I said a little bit earlier, we're not discussing it that much, but if the Giants spent their second round pick on an edge, say if one of those edge rushers fall, like a Will McDonald or a BJ Ojulari, which I don't necessarily see, but I didn't think Aziz would fall to the Giants in the second round after they traded back twice already. So it could happen. I wouldn't be shocked if they brought in another edge rusher earlier in the draft. I don't think it's going to be at 25. I'm right there with you. We'll get into some of the positions that I feel like the Giants could invest in at 25 here in a little bit. But edge is one of those low-key needs that I feel like good football teams, they have a lot of good edge rushers. And the Giants right now, they have two, Kayvon and Aziz. And Aziz was injured basically the entire season. And this bleeds right into the defensive line. I still think the Giants need to make investments into the defensive line. This could be a tweener edge defensive lineman that Wink Martindale can use in a variety of different ways. They have their base personnel set, and I'm comfortable with their base personnel of Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, and Raheem Nunez-Roches. I feel like that is a good tight front right there. You can have Dex at the nose, Lenny, and Nacho. Those are your two four eyes, your two vortex, whatever you want, however you want to employ that front. I feel like that is a much better base personnel package than anything the Giants had last season. And I did like Nick Williams, but after Nick Williams went out, it was an absolute disaster on the defensive line. I still think you need depth there because DJ Davidson, Vernon Butler, and Ryder Anderson. I just don't know what to expect from an injured DJ Davidson. Vernon Butler, Ryder Anderson, I'm not relying on too much. So I have this as a 7 need. So it's on par with the edge rushers. I still think edge might be more important. But again, these two position groups, they kind of bleed into each other in this defense. What are your thoughts on the Giants' needs along the defensive line?
Yeah, I think they are connected. I am at a 6 on this, just a little bit lower than you, but mostly because the Giants just added Nacho. And so far, Dexter Lawrence has proven to be pretty durable out there. Yeah, looking down the road with Leonard Williams, I don't know how much longer he's going to be on the team. The Giants seem perfectly happy to eat his salary cap number right now, but who knows, that they could work an extension out with them to try to lower that number. Could just kind of wait and see what happens, what his year looks like. Yeah, I think this is a very good defensive line class overall. And I think there are guys kind of throughout this draft class who could really help the Giants defensive line, help give them the depth that they lacked. You know, there's a couple guys I really like that will probably be available on the second day, like Keanu Benton out of Wisconsin or Zach Pickens out of South Carolina. But who knows, could maybe even look at Kalijah Kancey out of Pittsburgh, although now he's starting to be talked about as a top 10 player, as a top 10 pick in this draft. So that's going to be, I think, very interesting. I think it's a position that the Giants certainly could and should look at, but I'm not sure if the, just because of the lack of injury concerns there, if it's quite as urgent as the edge.
Kancey's an interesting one because I don't know exactly if his skill set, how it translates with Wink Martindale, depending on how they want to utilize him, because he is a straight up one gap penetrator, and Wink Martindale utilizes those types of concepts. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but how well is he going to anchor down in place? That's kind of my question when you're talking about allocating a top 30 pick on a player like that in this specific defense. I think he fits perfectly into an even front three technique, just disrupt the offense. Wink Martindale doesn't really run that type of system. And I'm sure a player with his athletic ability and skill set, Martindale will find a way to leverage those talents. But there are some other defensive linemen, like Mazi Smith from Michigan is a player that I feel like the Giants could be interested in. Gervin Dexter from Florida is another one, interior defensive lineman, big athletic guy. And then a player that I really like, he caught my eye when I was watching BJ Ojulari, and that is Jaquelin Roy from LSU. He's a player who aligned a lot, knows lot one technique. I think he could be like a really good player to spell Dexter Lawrence. Big body, really quick off the snap. I'm not sure if you got eyes on Jaquelin Roy yet, but he's definitely one who I have my attention on. Have you watched him?
Not specifically, but he did catch my eye as well when I was watching BJ Ojulari. And yeah, I do like him. I think he's kind of an under-the-radar defensive tackle, which is kind of an easy thing to be. You know, unless those guys are really out there making splash plays, it's easy to kind of gloss over them if you're not specifically watching them. Yeah, you know, the Kalijah Kancey argument, that I think would be very interesting. Just an interesting one to be in the draft room for, because there's also the other guy, Adebowale out of Northwestern, and he is very similar to Kalijah Kancey, actually more athletic with the same frame. I do wonder if one of those guys were there, if Wink would just say, you know what, I'll make it work. But then you also have the Mazi Smiths and the Siaki Ika out of Baylor as just these massive just boulders in the middle of your defensive line.
And I know you like the Tennessee kid, Byron Young. I believe there's a Byron Young from Alabama as well. We're talking about the Tennessee kid who's more of a edge rusher, whereas Byron Young from Alabama is more of an interior defensive lineman. And I know he's an older prospect, but he's an explosive dude off the edge, man.
Yeah, he really is. I think if Nolan Smith hadn't had the combine workout he did, a lot more people would be talking about Byron Young. Yeah, you know, he's 25. He's, you know, former JUCO player, had a really long and winding road up to the NFL draft. At one point, he was, managing a Dollar General or something like that, managing a convenience store, sent out his highlight reel tape to colleges, and eventually got an offer from Tennessee. And then, you know, COVID happened, all of that. But he is really one of the freak athletes in this draft class. And I think he had a 10-yard split in the 1.5s. So I said to you after our last podcast that if you get a chance to watch this kid, watch him, because he's good for at least one wow play every game.
Yeah, I'm going to do that once I get into Tennessee's defense a little bit more. But the edge rusher, and I know we already went over edges, man. Like, Darian Beavers is a player who was utilized on the edge, played edge at UConn before transferring to Cincinnati. So maybe he will fit into that edge group in certain sub packages. Like you said a little bit earlier, man, Wink Martindale, he diversifies his personnel and his personnel packages so well to combat what the offense is trying to accomplish and what they're trying to do. And in this draft class with the edges specifically, dude, there's just so many different body types here. There's those guys who are like 240, 245 pounds. And then there's guys who are like 290, like the Keon Whites of the world, who are like 285, the Tyree Wilson, who's going to be gone way before the Giants pick. So it's just kind of fascinating how they're all kind of grouped into the same bucket as edge rushers. But these guys are not even close to being the similar type of players, and they're going to be specific based on the defense that they slide into in the NFL. But the unique thing about Martindale, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is I think he can use those 280-pound guys. I think he can use those 275-pound guys, and I think he can use those 245, 250-pound guys. So like any of these edge rushers could fit into Wink Martindale's defense, and you can't say that about every defensive coordinator in the NFL.
No, not at all. Like the what we had saw previously with like Perry Fuel, like that, there are some, maybe even a lot of defensive minds where they just have their discrete boxes, and you know, a defensive tackle looks like, you know, this, whatever their archetype is, you know, 6'3", 315 pounds, 33, 34 inch arms, you know, whatever. And then you have either a defensive end or an outside linebacker and whatever. With Wink Martindale, it really is a positionless defense, at least in broad strokes, where, yes, you have a defensive lineman, but you could have a 340-pound Dexter Lawrence or a 290-pound Jihad Ward, and both of them are considered defensive linemen, and there is a role for both.
There absolutely is a role for both. And I look at the linebacker group now. We transition there. You and I have the same number, so I'm just going to spoil this, Chris. We both have the linebackers as an 8 need. And I think I believe edge is a bigger need right now. I know I have it listed different on the sheet. It's mainly because the Giants did get Bobby Okereke, and the Giants are also bringing in Deion Jones, which we just learned, for a workout. We'll have to wait and see if Deion Jones ends up getting signed here. But I look at the linebackers in general in this draft class. There are some guys at the top who, if the Giants were to go in that direction, they would be a linebacker. They would be an edge rusher. They would just really be a chess piece for Wink Martindale to leverage. And that's mainly who I'm talking about is Drew Sanders from Arkansas. He fits into that boat. But I even think like guys a little bit later, like DeMarvian Overshown from Texas, is a player who can act in that role. Because I don't really see many true linebackers in this class of what we think of linebackers. I think Jack Campbell really fits that bill. He's somebody who is I could stack and shed. I can play within the box. I can really do anything you ask me to. Whereas a lot of these other guys are just kind of athletes running around, is sort of how I've said it in the past. I haven't seen Toa Toa yet, the kid from Alabama, but like Trenton Simpson, he aligned everywhere. He had that like Isaiah Simmons type of role at Clemson, for a lack of a better term there. So what are your thoughts on the Giants' current linebacker state and how this class sets up for a possible investment somewhere throughout the draft?
Yeah, I think this is a draft class with a lot of potentially good linebackers. Like you said, there are a lot of athletes playing the linebacker position. For the Giants, Drew Sanders, to me, is very, very interesting because of his background as an edge. He was an edge at Alabama before going to Arkansas, transitioning to off-ball linebacker. Like, we have seen that work very well, most notably with Micah Parsons. Now, I don't think Drew Sanders is going to be Micah Parsons, but we do know that it is a skill set that can be used, especially as teams are more willing to use undersized pass rushers. Jack Campbell, I think, is really super interesting because he's a lot more athletic than I gave him credit for watching Iowa's tape. I mean, he has a 9.98 RAS. You know, he's 6'4", 5/8", 250 pounds. He's got a 10-foot broad jump, 37.5-foot vertical. He had a 6.74 three cone, which is just absurd for that size, and a 1.58 10-yard split, which was better than most of the edge rushers out there. Now, yeah, his 40 yards slowed down a little bit to 4.65. But that's still pretty darn good. And I think he could be almost like a Kyle Van Der Esch type player. Or actually, it's hard to look for a comparison without going to like Brian Urlacher or something kind of ridiculous like that. But that is the kind of athletic skill set you're talking about. And I think Wink Martindale, with his positionless defense and having Bobby Okereke here, they maybe could get or find a good use, an every down use for a player with Campbell's size and athleticism, where maybe he plays as an interior linebacker on one down, and maybe passing downs goes out to maybe even be a rush linebacker, something like that.
It could be. I mean, that really fits Drew Sanders as well, if he can kind of iron out all those issues that he has just kind of playing within the box. But the Giants need to play Jalen Hurts twice a year. They need to find ways to contain that rushing attack. They need to find ways to have a quarterback spy, and they need to find smart players, overhang players, and this is going to bleed into the secondary a little bit, who know how to effectively fit zone read plays and, more importantly, the RPO, which has proliferated around the NFL over a while. But before we get into some of those secondary pieces, Chris, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors here at SB Nation.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All righty, buddy. Let's get right into cornerback. I will give my value, and my value is 10. Yes, I think cornerback is the biggest need on this Giants roster in a Wink Martindale system where Adoree Jackson has a void year after this season, and then you have really no long-term plan other than Cordell Flott. You signed Amani Oruwariye, Leonard Johnson, and players like that. Darnay Holmes is on the last year of his deal. And I just look at the corner spot, man, and I'm just like, dude, this is precarious. Not only is this a Wink Martindale system that likes to run a ton of quarter personnel, a lot of secondary pieces out there, but dude, the NFL is a passing league. Every NFL team has multiple wide receivers who scare you. Just in this division, you have Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, you have CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, you have A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. You have those tight ends that are also in this division in Dallas Goedert, and that's where we'll focus because Dalton Schultz is no longer in Dallas, but maybe Jake Ferguson can step up. You need to have players who are athletic enough to cover in this passing league where the just rules are bent for the offense. And I don't think the Giants have that right now. So I look at the 25th pick, and to me, given the talent that's entering the draft class, it appears like there could be value there at 25 where the Giants can make that selection, bring that player in. It could be Adoree Jackson, that player, but battling with Cordell Flott to be the starter, let the cream rise to the top. And then after next season, Adoree might not be here anymore. And then you can have those two young cornerbacks. Hopefully Adoree Jackson can step up. You also have Aaron Robinson, but you don't know what you're expecting with there. I don't feel great about the current corner situation right now, all things considered.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just slightly below you at a 9, but I don't have a problem saying that this is kind of a hair on fire need for the Giants, especially with Wink Martindale and the way he likes to play defense. What with all of those cover one, press man coverage schemes that really underpin all of his blitz schemes and enable his blitz schemes, you need guys who can cover to do that. And also the attrition at the position, just cornerbacks get hurt. That is just a fact of life in the NFL. These guys are incredible athletes, but they're constantly asked to do just awkward things. They're run backwards at full speed and then turn on a dime and do it all reactively. They don't have the initiative in the play, and that's just very, very difficult for any human to do, even a ridiculously athletic one. And like you said, you look at this draft class and it is just brimming with talented cornerbacks. I would not be at all surprised if we see a dozen corners get drafted in the first 3 days. There's just so much depth at this position that there are guys who will be starting and good starters this year as rookies that we just are not talking about. Guys that are really getting lost in the shuffle because of how many talented corners there are.
And there's quite a bit, man. And I don't think Deontay Banks, Devon Witherspoon, or Christian Gonzalez will be there for the Giants at 25. But you're looking at players like Cam Smith, who the Giants have on the top 30 visit, the kid from South Carolina, eager to get in his film. I'm going to do that probably either today or tomorrow. Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State. Does he fit well into a man coverage scheme? A very long physical player. I think he's good in press. Man coverage, I have some question marks for a top 25 pick. Keely Ringo, excellent vertical type of speed, excellent linear athlete. In terms of change of direction, there's some question marks. I really want to watch Emmanuel Forbes from Mississippi State. I got to dive into that. Julius Brents, a little bit more of his own guy, but I could see how the Giants would be interested in him. I don't think he's an inept athlete. He's actually a really good athlete, just doesn't really have the recovery speed. He was like 99th percentile and 96th percentile in the vert, the broad, respectively. DJ Turner, I mean, the list goes on and on. I just think the Giants are going to have probably, they're not going to have their pickings because there will be at least three or four corners selected before they pick at 25, but the Giants can definitely find somebody who will assist them and assist this defense and their pass defense and hopefully be a cornerback one moving forward after Adoree Jackson.
Yeah, and I think they really have to do that just because, like you said, their depth is questionable. Wink Martindale absolutely loves defensive back heavy sub packages. He loves to have 6-7 as many DBs as he can fit on the field. He will do that just because of how it lets him disguise his coverages and just send more speed after opposing quarterbacks. And I have to say, I have watched Emmanuel Forbes. I've got a scouting report out on him. I think he might be the real wild card in this draft class, at least at the cornerback position, because he is whip thin. Like, if Cordell Flott's size is a concern for folks, Emmanuel Forbes gained weight to be at 170 pounds for his pro day. However, dude has Asante Samuel level ball skills. I almost want to say Ed Reed level ball skills. He is a ball magnet out there. You do not get 6 interceptions returned for touchdowns by accident. And it wasn't just in bunches because he had 3 touchdowns in 2 separate years. It is rare the way that he moves. He is an incredibly fluid mover out there. He has legitimately oily hips and very quick feet. But he is 170 pounds. So I could see teams having wildly different draft grades on him. And it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see where he goes. And I actually do kind of keep coming back to Cam Smith for the Giants, because if they're not overly concerned with size, Cam is a little bit undersized. He's about 6 foot, maybe a couple eighths of an inch underneath, 180 pounds. So he's slight himself, good speed, 4.4. I really like his feet. I really like his hips. I love the way he competes. He is, at least mentally, in the same mold as Stephon Gilmore and J.C. Horn were. He's a brawler out there as a cornerback, and I could really see that appealing to Wink Martindale.
And that gets us to safety. So the Giants lost Julian Love, and they brought in Bobby McCain. I like Bobby McCain. I think Bobby McCain is a better football player than maybe we're letting on, but it is a step down, in my opinion, from Julian Love. I have the need at 7, so it's comparable to the defensive line. I think the Giants need to add somebody at the safety position. I find it to be not a unique situation, but it's going to tell a lot about how Joe Shane and this coaching staff feels about Dane Belton if the Giants were to go out and select a safety, say at 25, or maybe in the second round, more so. Because I think Bobby McCain is going to be like a 600 snap type of player on this defense. I think he's going to play a lot, depending on if the Giants invest in this position. I think they they don't view him as a liability. But as we've said, man, this team likes to run a lot of sub package. They want to have three safeties out there. I think they like Jason Pinnock. I don't know if they like Dane Belton. We'll have to wait and see. But you still need, I think this roster could still use another safety. And if Brian Branch was there at 25, I don't think he will be. That's where I feel like the conversation gets really interesting, because it's not your biggest need, but it's still a need.
I actually have this as an 8 as far as need goes, but I also tend to believe that the safety position, or the presence of a good to great safety, is more important for defense than a lot of other people do. Just because you look at what a great safety allows the defense to do, it can be absolutely transformative. There are a lot of things that a defensive coordinator cannot do if they either don't have a very versatile safety, or a safety they can absolutely trust to apply the double team where it needs to be, or to lock down that deep middle of the field. And the Giants have Xavier McKinney, but he is getting close to his free agency. The Giants have to make make an effort to retain him. I think it's basically starting this year. And then Bobby McCain, you know, he has a very similar skill set to Julian Love. I don't know that he's as good a player as Julian Love was, but I think by and large, the rest of the Giants' depth is further away from Julian Love than Julian Love is from Xavier McKinney. So we had Love step up and really lead the back end of the Giants' defense when McKinney got hurt over the bye week last year, and they were able to continue without really missing much of a beat. I am not sure how well right now the Giants are able to replace Julian Love without missing that same beat.
It's going to be interesting to see how Joe Shane attacks this draft, because with a quarterback making as much money as he's making, $40 million a year, with Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas, those contracts possible, market setting type of deals on the horizon, you need to get the most out of these cheap rookie contracts. You need to hit in the draft. And I'm confident that Joe Shane will do so, especially now, as he's alluded to, and as he's mentioned, that he is really comfortable drafting for what Wink Martindale wants. Whereas last year, he didn't know Martindale that well. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But Chris, do you have anything else on the Giants defense and what position groups they should be really focusing on as we head into the draft?
No, but I do just want to mention Brian Branch, because you talked about him. You said that could be very interesting, and that could make for a very interesting conversation in the draft room if he happens to be available at 25. I definitely agree, and I think if he is there, he very well could be the pick, because he could address two different positions. He's got experience at safety. He's got experience at corner. He is almost a rich man's version of Julian Love, with his ability to play the slot or to drop back and play free safety or do almost anything you want or anything you need in the defensive secondary. And after him, there's kind of a gap, I think, with the rest of the safeties in this draft class. That isn't to say the Giants can't add a quality one. They absolutely can. But Brian Branch is a name I am definitely keeping an eye on if he happens to slide.
Same here. I mean, that's going to be a fascinating conversation. I just don't know if he'll be there at 25, but crazier things have happened. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. Please, if you have not done so already, like and subscribe to the podcast. Head on over to our YouTube page, Big Blue View, and go check out our website, bigblueview.com, where we are extensively covering the New York Giants heading into the NFL draft. Thank you, everyone, and have a lovely day.